News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So going to the phones right now, my friend Brian Taylor. Brian is a practicing attorney with the law firm of Backus, Brahm & Taylor in Birmingham. He is also a former state senator. He and I served together in the Alabama legislature. He's also, though, a former senior advisor and chief legal counsel to Governors Ivey and Riley. And he's also an Army JAG officer with tours of duty in Iraq. So all that to say, he's got a great resume. He's also happens to be the attorney of record for both of the people involved in the two remaining election challenges active in the state of Alabama. Brian Taylor, how you doing today? Yeah, well, thanks for being on, bud. And listen, how in the world is it that you are, like, all of this is swirling around your legal representation? I mean, you're the counsel of record for both of these challenges.
Well, it's either a blessing or a curse. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I gave the audience kind of the lowdown right before you came on. You've got Kimberly Butler as your client in the challenge to the primary race in House District 2. And then you've got Mrs. Kenney, you're her personal attorney, with regards to her vote being outstanding in Senate District 27. Which one do you want to take first?
Well, we can do it whatever order that you want to. Of course, the difference between the two cases, in one case, I represent the candidate who's bringing the election contest. In the other case, I represent a voter whose vote has become the issue between the two candidates in the contest. And so we can start with that one if you want, since I think they're going to be rehearing that one tomorrow at 10 a.m., last I heard.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay, yeah, let's do that. So you represent Ms. Kenney, I believe her name is, and she went down and tried to register to vote at the same time she got her new driver's license, she and her husband. Her husband was fine. She went to vote and was told she was not on the list, had to vote provisional, and they told her later, though, her provisional ballot wouldn't count.
That's right.
So, yeah, and I told the audience about the fact that they've had the hearing, and the hearing found it compelling, and they agreed to count her vote, which brought the race to a tie, and all of a sudden, the grenade drops in. Aaliyah comes in after the fact, like they've been sleeping, I guess, before the hearing. And suddenly they have new evidence, and now you got a new hearing.
Well, that's the way it's been portrayed in the news media, I think, which, as you know, Phil, is not always that trustworthy. So there's really no new evidence in that particular case. Ms. Kenney has always testified. She testified in an affidavit and in a deposition. And we recently sent out a press release consistent with what she's always said. She went into the driver's license office in Opelika. A lot of people call that the DMV. She went into the driver's license office. They asked her if she wanted to register to vote. She said yes. And the reason they asked that question is it's a federal law called motor voter law. And under the motor voter law, the driver's license office is intended to be sort of an extension of the Board of Registrar's office, where your application for voter registration is processed. And we have other agencies that do that, too. They operate as an extension of the registration process, and that's all under a law called the National Voter Registration Act. And the Motor Voter Law is a section of that act that applies to driver's license offices. So she goes in, and they ask her, do you want to register to vote? She says yes. Her husband says yes. They had already been registered in Alabama before. They were previous Alabama residents, but they had moved to Georgia. They were registered to vote in Georgia and did vote in Georgia. They came back to Alabama. She registered to vote or attempted to register to vote at the driver's license office along with her husband. They took all of their information, and they finished her husband's driver's license application. They were unable to finish Ms. Kenney's driver's license application because she had an eye issue. And so the agent told Ms. Kenney, you need to go see your eye doctor and bring this form back to us, and we'll give you your driver's license. Well, they never told her that when they did that, that they were not going to process her voter registration. So she and her husband left the driver's license office, honestly and reasonably believing that they had been registered to vote. She didn't find out there was any problem until she gets to the polls, and they tell her she's not registered. Her husband was. He voted a registered ballot. I mean, a regular ballot, no problem. Ms. Kenney's vote was not allowed on a regular ballot, so she had to file. She had to vote on a provisional ballot, and a week later, that provisional ballot was rejected because she had not yet been registered to vote. that's been her story all along. What we've said is she did everything she was supposed to do at the voter registration office, i.e. the driver's license office. And they never they asked her to leave and come back, but never told her that they were not going to process her voter registration application.
Yeah.
So therefore, under universally under the law across the country, and many cases have taken have gone to the courts involving circumstances similar to these, the courts have said that under those circumstances, the voter registration should be accepted after the fact. The voter should be allowed to vote. And so that's all we did was we asked the committee to consider that. And I believe the candidates argued that before the committee. We were not present for the committee hearing, but the candidates certainly have a position on whether her vote should count or not.
Well,
count.
Yeah.
They argued that before the committee.
And
the committee agreed with the law, the case decisions, the court decisions around the country, and the committee accepted her vote.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Brian.
The day after that, the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency sent out a press release that appeared to discount her version of events.
Okay,
when actually it correctly stated the version of events. And what they said was the voter registration application is not processed until we hit print and give you a driver's license. Well, that's all well and good. That may be how their system works, but that's not what the law says. The law says if she goes in there and she applies for her voter registration, she gives them all the information, and they take that information and they put it into the system, she should have been registered to vote. So it wasn't her fault, and we think that the committee should continue to count her vote, and we hope that's the way the committee comes out.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Brian. Let me jump in here because we're gonna run out of time if we keep taking this long on the descriptions, but the reality is this. They're going to hear it again tomorrow for whatever reason. So all the hyperbole set aside, all of the strange ways that the media reports things, you're contending that the law is her intent as opposed to the actual registration in the system. That it's got to be the intent of the voter as opposed to the confirmation by the system as to whether the vote should count. So what's she going to do if they don't count it? What's she going to do tomorrow if they have the hearing and they backtrack and they say, you know what, we can't count that after all. What's Ms. Kenney going to do?
Well, all along, she said her only interest is making sure her vote counts. And so she was content with their decision to count her vote. If they retract that, she's already asked me to give her legal advice on what her options are, and one of those options would be a motor voter lawsuit challenging the rejection of her ballot as a disenfranchisement of, and a deprivation of her constitutional right to vote and to have her vote counted. So
wow.
We're certainly looking at that. I hope we don't have to do that if we just stick to the rules as they were written at the beginning and leave it as it is. She wouldn't have a reason to pursue it any further, but if they do strip her of her vote counting, she's interested in looking at other options. So,
all right, man. Well, listen, we're going to come down to the end of our time in about the next 4 minutes or 5 minutes here. So let's switch gears. I mean, that's amazing, by the way, that you're thinking there's even potential court action, legal action on behalf of Ms. Kenney. But what about Kimberly?
Yeah,
Butler?
that would most likely be a federal lawsuit.
Okay, federal. All right, motor voter. You're right, federal law. All right. So, yeah. Kimberly Butler, she has a an actual legal challenge, because hers did not get heard by the committee because hers had to wait until the nominee was declared, if I recall, and then or certified, and then now what for her?
Yeah, so Kimberly Butler is a candidate for House District 2. A number of voters in that district were improperly assigned in the system to House District 1, and so they didn't have an opportunity to vote for her. She's got affidavits and evidence from those voters that they would have voted for her if they'd been given the right ballot. So she's prepared to present that case. Unfortunately, time-wise, the law says we can't bring that case until a nominee is certified. So she thinks that she should have been the one in the runoff election rather than one of her primary opponents. She got more votes than him in the primary. And so she should have advanced to the runoff. We'll be filing that contest as soon as the party declares a nominee as a result of the runoff. And that's just a technical prerequisite before we file the case. There has to be declared nominee.
They haven't declared it yet.
The naming of the nominee. So once that happens within a day, the law requires us to file our contest to hear that case.
Okay, so I was not aware. So you're saying Ben Harrison has not been declared the nominee yet officially by the party. Is that correct?
Not yet. I spoke to the party earlier today, and they think it will probably be next Wednesday before they do the final declaration of nominee. That's because the timeline is a little bit different after a runoff than it is after a primary. After a primary, it's quickened because the runoff comes so close. But in this case, the law is pretty clear that a runoff must be between the two highest vote getters. We think she's going to be able to show very easily that she was among the two highest vote getters, and she should have been the one to advance to the runoff. So we'll be asking for a new runoff election.
Well, if that happens, who pays for the runoff election?
Well, we think the state should, because, again, the state improperly registered these voters in the wrong district.
Wow. So we're bottom line is we're looking at a hearing tomorrow from Ms. Kinney, which could result, if it goes against her concerns, if it goes against her, basically, you're looking at potential federal legal action on a motor voter lawsuit. And then at the same time, you're also looking at a state legal action as soon as the nominee is declared for Kimberly Butler.
You got it.
Wow. And you're the dude for both of them. How did this happen, Brian Taylor?
Well, I'm just it's what I do. It's one of the things I enjoy doing is representing folks and standing up for folks' constitutional rights. So,
well, I tell you what, it's interesting to me that you're in the thick, because I can make one phone call and find out everything. So yeah, thank you for that.
You're overselling it, but I appreciate that and appreciate the job you do, Phil, to get the story out straight to your listeners without any filter and just reporting the facts.
All right, Brian. Well, listen, man, keep us posted, and we'd love to have you back on and sort of tell us how things are going as they develop. But in the meantime, appreciate your time today, bud.
Thanks, Phil. We will.
All right, take care. Wow, what a crazy story. What a freaky, crazy story. I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like this. I mean, one vote difference. Had a hearing, changed it. Had a hearing, maybe going to change it again. Could require a federal action regarding a state election. And then looking at another one where literally they haven't declared it yet, so you don't know whether to file suit yet. You got to wait till next week. We are how many weeks past the runoff, and there's going to be a state court action regarding the outcome of a primary vote, and maybe, if she prevails, a new election. Good Lord. It's craziness. But you know what? It ain't over till it's over. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We'll do that. We'll come back and have a few minutes. And then, by the way, coming up top of the hour, right after the next news break at 4 o'clock, we'll come back with the Grand Council, my brethren, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore and myself, ping each other with questions and see where we stand. Y'all stay tuned. Plenty more to come. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.